This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. We're studying the chapter that deals with Adhan. And Adhan, as we have said, is the notification, is the call for prayer so that people, once they hear it, they know it is time to pray. And the hadith we have in today's program begins with hadith 146.
Narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu, Bilal was commanded to announce the adhan, meaning each phrase, twice, and the iqama, meaning each phrase, once, except the prayer stood ready to begin, meaning to be pronounced twice.
Which is? In Arabic?
Qad qamat salat
twice. Okay. Now, the hadith here was narrated by Anas. Bilal was commanded. Who commanded him?
Prophet.
The Prophet, alayhi salam. So this is logical and understandable. What I don't understand is that he instructed him or commanded him to announce the adhan, each phrase, twice, and the iqama, to announce it, how many times?
Once.
Now, how do you say each phrase twice? And what about Allahu Akbar? If then this hadith means that we should follow the adhan of Imam Malik, where he said that Allahu Akbar is only said twice, so that it would be Allahu Akbar, then repeating it twice. So, can anybody clear my misunderstanding, Brother Fadi?
Because in the adhan, Allahu Akbar is two times.
Is it?
Allahu Akbar, so twice, that's four times.
Well, it's four times, it's not two times.
Yeah, but he says twice, and it's actually two times, so it's four. Two times two is four.
So, this means that the proper way of saying a takbir is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Not Allahu Akbar, and you pose Allahu Akbar, and you pose, because then it becomes four. But when you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, this is once. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, this is twice. And in the Iqama, we say it only once. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And in Arabic, this is called Taghlib. Taghlib meaning overcoming, or giving the general name to all the thing we're talking about. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, and again, this is Arabic, it might be a little bit difficult to explain in English, but Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, when she was describing how they used to live with the Prophet ﷺ, she said that we would see the crescent after another, after a third, which meant how many months? 2 months. And no fire would be lit in the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What does this tell you? It tells you that they didn't cook because they didn't have food to cook. So one of the companions asked Aisha, and you know, he was astonished, say, Mother Aisha, 2 months and you wouldn't cook in the houses of the Prophet alayhi salam. So how did you feed? What did you eat? She said, we had nothing to eat except the two blacks. Now, this is Arabic, huh? two blacks. And she explained, water and dates. Dates is black. Dates, the dates itself, are black in color. But is water black? No. Scholars say in Arabic, this is called taghlib. We give the name of one to the whole group. It's like in Sirah, when they say that the two Umar came and the two Umar left. جاء العمران وذهب العمران. What is the meaning of that, Mustafa?
عمر بن خطاب.
Okay.
وعمر بن جهل.
No. عمر, well, you can't have both enemy and Abu Malik.
Umar and Abu Bakr.
Abu Bakr and Umar. So they give the name of Umar to Abu Bakr by saying, instead of saying Abu Bakr and Umar came, Abu Bakr and Umar went, they say the two Umaran, Umaran, two, one Umar and another Umar, which is Taghlib. Again, they say Al-Qamaran, the two moons. Mustafa, what do you think the two moons are?
The sun and the moon.
The sun and the moon. They call it the two moons, Al-Qamaran. And it's quite normal in Arabic to have this. That is why we give the name of one to the whole group. So there is a difference between adhan and iqama. Which has more words, Nur?
What?
Which has more words?
More words?
The adhan or the iqama?
Of course. Adhan is more
words. The adhan has more words than the iqama. The iqama has something that is not found in the adhan, Muhammad.
قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة.
And one adhan out of the five daily prayers has something that is not found in the iqama and the rest of the adhans, which is
Fajr.
Mustafa.
Fajr.
Which is
As-salatu khayrun
min al-nawm. Okay, can we try to figure out why the words in the adhan are more than the words in the iqama? Fadi?
I think because the first adhan is for the call of prayer for the people to assemble and gather at the mosque, but the second one has to be shorter and faster for them just to stand up and start praying.
Because they are already gathered, present and gathered in the mosque. So the first one is to notify those who are far away. So they may miss a sentence or two, but if you make it, prolong it and make it lots of words and sentences, the possibility that they hear it is far greater than if you make it short. And this is the reason why we have the adhan longer and more in sentence than the iqama. The following hadith has the number 147.
Narrated by Abu Juhayfa, may Allah be pleased with him, I saw Bilal calling for prayer and I would follow looking at his mouth as he turned it this right side and that left side with his fingers in his ear. In a narration of Ibn Majah, and he put his finger in his ear, and also in a narration of Abu Dawud, he turned his neck to the right and left when he reached Hayya al-Salah, meaning come to the prayers, and didn't turn his body.
Okay, this hadith tells us how to perform the adhan physically, how to do it. But something just popped into my mind. We always hear the terminology, the six books of hadith. There are six books of hadith, the most famous ones. So, Nur, do you know them?
Yes, I know.
Can you please?
First, Sahih Bukhari.
Okay.
Sahih Muslim.
Okay.
Sahih Ibn Majah.
Well, it's not Sahih.
No, sorry.
It's called Sunan Ibn Majah. And then?
Sunan Ibn Majah and Sunan Ibn Dawud.
Abu Dawud. Okay.
And
two more, Fadi.
An-Nasa'i and At-Tirmidhi.
And Sunan An-Nasa'i and Sunan At-Tirmidhi. And these are the six books, the most famous six books of hadith. Some make the mistakes the mistake of saying they are the as-sihah as-sitta. They are regarded as sahih, the six books, but they are not. Only two are sahih, which are the Bukhari and Muslim. And then you have the authentication of them as follows: Nisa'i, then Abu Dawood, then Tirmidhi, then finally Ibn Majah, which contains a lot of weak hadith and also a lot of correct and authentic hadiths. Abu Juhayfa is describing to us how Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, used to call for the prayer. And he says that he used to follow his mouth going right and left. Now, the sunnah is that you put your fingers in your ears. And why is that, do you think, Mustafa?
Because at the time they didn't have microphones, so they wanted to say it in a loud voice as much as they can.
So what does your fingers in your ears do to you, Abu Malik?
Physically, I heard doctors say that if you block the ears, then the strength of the mouth, the voice coming out of the mouth will be stronger.
Okay. And this sounds, you have to ask a doctor to confirm this. It sounds logical, because if you have problems with your nose, if you have a cold or so, your ears get blocked. And your throat, you have a sore throat and so on. So they are all connected to each other. So apparently once you block your ear passage, then the air goes through one passage, which is your throat. And the more you don't hear yourself, the louder you can get. Now, saying that this is the sunnah, we mean that this was done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Not that the Prophet ordered it, but being done at the Prophet time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not say anything towards it, this means that
he agrees
to it, so it's a sunnah. Now, in the hadith, it says that he used to go right and say, Hayya ala salat, hayya ala salat, twice, and goes left to say, Hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. Why do you think he did this, Fadi?
To send the call of prayer to the largest amount of people possible.
So if he does it this way, that means that the people on the right, the far right, the angle itself would be limited. But if you turn right and left, then the angle, the circle would be much bigger and wider. Now, the question that comes here, do you think that we should do this nowadays? Mustafa says yes. Fadi says
no. I don't think we should do it it's permissible. So it's a good thing to follow the sunnah, but the purpose of it is already fulfilled by the loudspeakers.
So yes or no?
Mandatory, no, but permissible, or it's better to do so.
Mustafa has another opinion again.
I thought adhan was an act of worship.
Yes.
So this means that if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to do it this way, to turn right or left while saying Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, then we should do it either way.
Abu Malik.
Well, I do agree with Brother Mustafa on that, because it's sunnah.
Okay, Noor.
I agree with Brother Mustafa.
Mustafa. Muhammad.
If you see in that hadith, we can find that Muhammad, peace be upon him, not command him to do so.
Okay, I will give you the floor, inshallah, after the break. We have a short break, so stay tuned, and we will be right back, inshallah.
Reviewing the second rule of Al-Mim As-Sakinah. That is the letter Mim. So if the first Mim is non-vowel or Sakinah, followed by a vowel Mim. So I will merge the first in the letter and I will pronounce them as one. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ And we spoke abundantly on the virtues of seeking refuge with Allah from the outcast Satan. Especially for the first reciter, he's got to recite it out loud.
وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإذا جاءت الصاخة.
وإذا النفوس زوجت.
Make sure it's دم. وإذا النفوس. Thank you for joining us.
And welcome back. Before the break, Muhammad was commenting on our question. So can you please elaborate?
Yes, I told that in hadith of Abu Juhayfa, as we see, reported us that I saw Bilal looking left
right.
And right.
Mm-hmm.
And that not we find that not the Prophet told him for to doing that. So if we do, it's better because it's act of a Sahabi.
Okay. So the consensus of the floor we have say that it is Sunnah. Now we have other. Mustafa is changing his mind.
No, I'm not changing my mind. If it was explicitly for that purpose, for letting people know, then it would have been not just in Hayya ala Salah and Hayya ala Falah. Then it would have been in other. And the other sentences as well.
Okay. This could also count. But I beg to differ. Simply because if you call for the adhan and you have the mic here and you say, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, people will not hear you. Now, this was possible when you got on top of the mosque and you called the people without any microphones, the angle or the circle would increase because you're doing it this way, you're doing it this way, and you're doing it this way. If you are inside the mosque and you have one mic in front of you, if you turn your face from it, this means that the whole circle outside the mosque will not listen and will not hear it. So you have to look into the form of worship itself to realize, first, was it instructed by the Prophet ﷺ or not? Secondly, does it have a meaning that is comprehensible, and to look whether I should continue or not? Meaning, and if you remember in ghusl, we said that the Prophet ﷺ started by washing his hands, washing his private parts, and hitting the ground with his hands. And why did he do this? Because he wanted to remove the filth that may have stuck into his hands. Now, do we have to do this? We said, no, we can wash our hands with soap. That would suffice. The same thing comes here with the adhan. You have a comment? Abu Malik has a comment. Let's start with you.
I was going to say that you could just like hold the mic and like move.
Yeah, you can do this, but it's not. If you do this, as Muhammad points out, if you do this, then you have a problem with putting your fingers in your ears, and then, well, what should I do? It becomes, well, you could put a wireless, you know, like the singers do with the mic, and then depends on your costume, and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is adhan. Abu Malik.
Well, my question is similar to Brother Mustafa. I want to ask, you know, what if the mic can pick up? What if it's, you know, a strong mic, you know, from...
Then it's okay if you do it, and it's okay if you don't. But if you ensure that the sound is as strong as it is, then go ahead with it. But then we have the dilemma of putting your fingers...
I can still put it in if the mic is still in the spot.
Yeah, but remember that you have a mic. It's not the sound that you want it to be as strong as possible. You want it to be as nice as possible also. So imagine if you put your fingers in your ears and you have a mic that is strong with big loud speakers and you start to shout your way out for the adhan, a lot of people will be disturbed with it. And this is not Islam. We don't want to disturb people. We want them to listen to the adhan, know it's a form of notification, and come to perform the prayer. So the last conclusion we could reach would be that it is recommendable that you follow the footsteps of Bilal in doing it and looking right and left, providing that this does not jeopardize the reach of the adhan. As for the fingers, we don't want to make it so loud that people would reject our adhan. So if you keep your distance away from the mic, some people make it really noisy. They stick their mouths to the mic and the sound becomes very loud, and it's not a pleasant thing to hear. Islam doesn't want you to do this. Islam tells you to be a PR person. It tells you to be a public relation person. You always have to look for the image. You always have to portray the best image for the religion you believe in. You don't want any people or anybody to, reject what you're calling them to. Hadith number 148.
Narrated by Abu Mahdhura, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked his voice, so he taught him the adhan, meaning call to prayer.
Abu Mahdhura, I promised you before that we may talk about this man. I'm not going to talk a lot about him, but where did the Prophet alaihi wasallam hear him make the adhan? Does anybody know? On the day of conquering Mecca, Fath Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ went from Medina with his army and they conquered Mecca without any bloodshed, just went in and the people accepted them as conquerors. That was on which year? Does anybody know? Which Hijra year? Now this is, embarrassing.
The 10th?
10th year. And when did the Prophet die, alayhi salatu wasalam? That's even, even worse.
18th?
18th. So the Prophet stayed in Medina for 18 years. That's a lot of time. 13. 13. In Medina and Mecca?
10.
Well, if we reverse it, we might have a better answer. He stayed in Mecca for 13 years, and he stayed in Medina for 10 years. So then he did not perform Hajj on the 10th year. He performed Hajj on the 8th year. And the Prophet conquered Mecca on the 8th year, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and performed Hajjat al-Wada' on the 10th year. The 9th year was the Hajj of Abu Bakr and Ali, where he sent them to clear the way and to tell people that after today, no mushrik will be allowed to enter Mecca. So the conquering of Mecca was on the 8th year of Hijrah. When the prophets went there, alayhi salam, Bilal called the prayer for prayer from the masjid, the holy mosque. Abu Mahdhura was a young boy playing with his friends. And when they heard the adhan, he started to mock and make the adhan of his own. When someone hears something and he makes fun of it. So he started making fun of it. Allahu Akbar! And making fun out of it with a loud voice. Accidentally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this voice. Now he's the conqueror. And he came after being kicked out of Mecca and after being chased out of it, and they had so many wars. So you can tell the personality and how he feels, alayhi salatu wasalam, after all these years. They killed his uncle, they killed his loved ones, they killed his companions, and now he is the conqueror of the city, and no one can say anything to him. And all of a sudden, he hears this boy making fun of the adhan. What would you have done if you were in his shoes? You would have probably brought this boy, sliced him to pieces and put him in the microwave and had him for dinner. The Prophet ﷺ was not like this. He did not avenge himself. The Prophet ﷺ was not a type of a man with a temper. He loved his religion. He loved mankind. He was the mercy, as described to us in the Quran, to mankind and to jinn. He was sent as a mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he called his companions and told them, bring this man or bring this boy to me. So the guy came, you know, trembling and shivering. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wiped on his forehead, exactly as you do when you have a child or a young boy, and you just pat him on the head, you know, it's okay, just to cool him down. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also taught him how to call for the adhan, and he prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal that he guides this boy to the right path. So the boy did exactly what the Prophet taught him to. But there's, you know, something strange. The boy was not a Muslim. Or he was a Muslim on the surface, but he was a hypocrite, because everybody reverted to Islam and by the sword. And he was, a while ago, making fun, ridiculing of the adhan. He said to us, after the Prophet ﷺ wiped my forehead and prayed to Allah that he may guide me, subhanAllah, Allah took all the hatred in my heart and it was thrown away. And it was filled with the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Mahdura became one of those muadhinin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And by the way, his forehead that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped over, he never cut it short. He never cut it short. And whenever people tell him, it's getting long, why not cut it short? He said, I would never ever cut short something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam touched. Because this is a blessing of the Prophet ﷺ. And the issue of blessing of the Prophet ﷺ is a very wide thing. Now, nothing in this world is worth touching and seeking the blessing of. People go to graves and start rubbing the graves or wiping on the graves, seeking blessing. People go to Kaaba and they wipe the walls and the carpets and the curtains and they seek blessing. They go to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, they go to the window or to the door and wiping it with cloth and seek the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is all wrong. You may not seek the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal except from the things that we were told to seek blessings in, such as the Prophet himself. So if the Prophet were to be alive among us, yes, it's a blessing to hold his hand. It's a blessing to take his clothing or to take his sweat or whatever and use it as a form of blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, because he is a blessing. Nowadays, we have nothing to go for except few things that are mentioned in the Sunnah. Fadi, we have 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, like his sword and his pieces of his hair. And
you have to prove that these are his swords and pieces, the remainings of his hair or of his cloth. And you cannot do this. Now you go to Istanbul, you go to Jalalabad, you go to here and there. Everybody says, listen, this is some of the hair of the Prophet. This is some of his perfume. This is some of his clothing. This is his sword. This is his knife. This is his turban. And none of them have the authentic that this belongs to the Prophet. And accordingly, we cannot argue and we cannot say it is or it isn't. So we cannot seek the blessing of Allah from it. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. So until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.